This week on Art on the Air, we feature Chicago-based Americana quartet The Empty Pockets during their USA tour, including The Acorn in Three Oaks, Michigan, on May 13th. Next, we speak with the hosts of the local music scene podcast Night of the Living Jam with Nigel David and MK. Our spotlight is on the Depot's 5x5 exhibit and gallery opening on May 13th at 5 p.m.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. We'd like to welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight. They have their event, which is an annual fundraising event and also opening for the season, the 5x5 at the Depot on US 12 and Broadway in Beverly Shores. Susie Vance, who's the president of the Depot Museum and Art Gallery, and Nancy Schwab, who's board member, gift shop manager, and in charge of the 5x5 exhibit. Welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, Susie, we'll let you start with you. Just tell us a little bit about what's going on with the whole Depot this season, and then we'll get to the specifics of the 5x5.
Well, the whole Depot this season is really going to be exciting. We have five shows, and it's just going to knock the socks off of everybody. We are also, each one of those shows has a unique person who is displaying things that they have come to do near and dear to their hearts, and from photography to quilting to just all kinds of things. We're very excited, and we're going to have some pop-up installations and some action events. We're going to have a pop-up installation by a local sculpture person. Edwin Shelton's going to be here, and we may even do a drumming circle. It's just going to be great. We're going to have a great time on the second Friday of every month this summer.
And Nancy, you're in charge of the whole gift shop, which has been sort of virtual mostly now that we're getting out of COVID. So you can describe that and then explain what 5x5 is and how that works.
Okay, well, I'll start with the 5x5. So the 5x5 means that artists from around Northwest Indiana contribute a 5x5-inch work of art. And buyers pre-buy a sticker for $55, and that enables them to apply it towards their purchase of artwork. This is the fifth year of the show, and it was started by Karen Brown 5 years ago. So, in fact, this year we're calling it 5x5 Turns 5. We have artists like Bob Stanley, who's local and is shown in galleries around the country. Karen Brown, who's well known. She does glass work, and she's going to have some exciting pieces. Susie Vance does fiber art, who's joining us here. Ruth Graff does a lot of mixed media. So it covers a lot of spectrum, a wide spectrum of art. Anyway, and then the gift shop, I'm always looking for new product. Most of it is from local artisans and includes jewelry, ceramics, glass, wood, and books. And we have a lot of books relevant to the area. So that'll be exciting. And that opens up the night of May 13th, which is when the 5x5 occurs. And again, that's at the Beverly Shores Depot, which is at 525 South Broadway, which is Route 12.
And you can buy your tickets online.
Yes.
Well, can you also view, are you also going to have an online aspect to it as in the past? So
actually, for the first time, we're putting, we're doing both in person and online. So it's going to open online after the in-person event. It'll open up at 8 o'clock that evening of May 13th. The show will stay up so people can still purchase after that evening and still purchase online and through June 2nd. So it'll be up for about 3 weeks.
But you can't see anything in advance of 5 right. o'clock on the 13th of May.
Right, right.
And that really represents the opening for the season. And you already described some of the artists that you're going to have and anything and special events. So tell us.
I know. Will that list be available? Would there be an artist list available before the opening?
We didn't plan on it, but that's an interesting thought. We will certainly talk about it.
Yeah, it's a good teaser.
Yeah. And what's fun is it is a mystery. Nobody knows what to expect, but they are betting by buying something for $55. And again, all of the proceeds from this event benefit the Depot, which is a not-for-profit entity. We really count on these dollars to help us through.
So, Susie, tell us a little of the history of the Depot, not only as a museum, but and the impact also the South Shore is going to have in double tracking.
Well, the double track is going to be great. I'm sure it'll bring more people out here. And but the depot itself was transformed when it was almost torn down in 88. And then in 1998, opened its doors as an art gallery and a museum. And it's just been fantastic ever since then. People have volunteered to be on the board, and we have done a number of great things, had lots of art exhibits and many museum exhibits. The museum exhibits actually are pretty spectacular. Last year we had one on erosion. This year we're doing beaches and resorts and all kinds of things. And it's just amazing to me, the history of this area that this museum does. You know, most museums around here do maybe one or maybe two exhibits every year. The museum that we run does three good exhibits. And you're going to know a lot of the history in Beverly Shores that's celebrating its 75th anniversary this year. Beverly Shores has existed for 75 years, which is amazing. And it's been through many iterations.
We also have a veterans exhibit, a veterans event coming up on May 21st, in which we're going to honor the veterans. And so that's something, look on our website and you'll get more information.
Well, tell us what that website is. That was the next question I was going to ask.
bsdepot.org. And from there, you'll learn about art exhibits, museum exhibits, and then you'll be able to link over to our website to buy.
Excellent. Well, we'd like to thank you for coming out of the Year Spotlight. That's on May 13th, 5 p.m. at the Depot. I like to say US 12 and Broadway in Beverly Shores. Susie Vance, president of the Depot, and Nancy Schwab, board member, gift shop manager, and head of the 5x5 exhibit. Thank you for coming on Art
thank
on the
you.
Air Spotlight.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
We would like to welcome Erica Brett, Josh Solomon, Nate Bellin, and Adam Belasco, aka the Empty Pockets, to Art on the Air. This rock and roll Americana quartet is known for their tight and gritty 70s soulful-inspired blend of exploratory grooves and distinctive vocals. They are a Chicago-based indie powerhouse group that is quietly conquering the Billboard charts. I would say maybe not so quietly. This quote is quite descriptive of their style. Americana rock and roll with a smack of Texas saloon and a taste of Motown soul. Aloha all. Larry and I thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. We are looking forward to knowing more about you individually as well as the Empty Pockets. Welcome.
We've got empty pockets, so let's not go far.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Esther.
Welcome all. Well, let's start with you. I guess we'll start with the lady of the group here, because we should do ladies go first. Erica, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Well, I was a choir nerd and a classical keyboard player, and always wanted to be in a band. And when I got out of college, I met these guys in a production of the Buddy Holly Story.
Oh.
And I was doing musical theater. And when I met Josh and Nate, they sort of scooped me up and took me away from that world. And I've been on tour with them basically ever since.
Excellent. If you know my background, I am a retired musical theater director for quite a few years. So,
no, wait, Josh and I were each running our own theater companies. In Chicago, there's like a rich storefront theater company scene. And we each had our own companies that we were like sort of, you know, taking care of ourselves. And then we met and joined.
So, Erica, in elementary school, did you have this big, powerful voice then? So,
this is a good question. I used to sing a lot. I was at a birthday party in fourth grade, and it was a karaoke birthday party in TJ's basement. And
shout out to TJ.
Thanks,
TJ.
Thanks, TJ. And a girl who was known for singing, her name was Emily. She asked me if I would sing The Wind Beneath My Wings by Bette Midler, which I was like, sure, that sounds fun. And then she got picked up early and I had to sing it by myself. And when I finished, everyone went crazy. And I thought to myself, maybe there's something here.
Yeah, because I've cast a little bit of like elementary school and you know, those big voices are evident very early, and the confidence too sometimes.
I don't know if I had the confidence, but I definitely loved it.
I've heard a middle school video of you and it sounded amazing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I love to sing. It's amazing to be still singing and being able to do that for my profession. It's the best, frankly.
Very good. Well, Josh, let's move on to you. Let's hear your story, how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Not that dissimilar. In seventh grade, I auditioned for the musical, and it was You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
and what role?
I got Charlie Brown.
Excellent.
And I loved being in the musical and everything around it, and I did all the musicals in high school and in college. And sort of when I got into the professional world after college, musical, it's not like music is easy to make money in. Like, I could have been an investment banker or something if I wanted to make money, but musical theater is brutal. It's just so difficult. And I found myself more attracted to the music part than the theater part, especially like on a day-to-day basis. And it was really Nate that transitioned me throughout all of that. Nate and I started jamming when I was probably like 10 or 11 years old in my cousin's basement. And I had written all these songs. Maybe half of them we still do. The other half were very musical theater tunes.
I would love to do those again too, but they are very musical theater.
and we actually played a gig at a piano bar called Davenport's. I was probably underage at that point still. And Nate said, hey, if you ever do anything with these songs, like do a project, I want to do it with you. And then I thought Nate was kind of sought after in my little scene. So I thought, Nate's going to do this project with us. Let's do it. And then we started a band, which was originally called Josh and the Empty Pockets. And then you don't add Erica to a band to keep a Josh on the front of the band name. So I wanted to call it And the Empty Pockets, but Erica thought that was silly. So we just became the Empty Pockets. We met Erica like did you say like in a production of the Buddy Holly Story? Nate was playing Joe Maudlin, the bass player. I was playing Buddy Holly, and Erica was in the show as well. And we did about 200 performances of that, and when that ended, we just hit it hard.
Yeah,
and we continued to, you know, we're touring hard as we have always done.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Nate, let's move on to you and tell us your story.
Oh, sure. Let's see. My folks got me started on music very early. They had me playing baritone ukulele by the age of four, and I was playing piano and whatnot. And I lost a taste for it because a lot of the methods for teaching kids really early are about like just rote memorization. And that's not for me. So I rediscovered it in my teenage years and jamming with the likes of Josh and his cousin Mike, whom brought us all together and gave us a place to work our early craft. And Josh would come in with all these cool songs. And eventually I was like, oh, man, these are some hot tunes. Listen, bro, if you ever want to do anything, we got to do something like that here. I was working in a bunch of bands at the time. And I was like, man, this is all so square. We got to do something cool. And he came in with some cool tunes. And I was like, yeah, right, let's do it. And so that was 16 years ago, yeah, 16, 17 years ago, something like that. And so now it's been 17 years later, and here we are.
Great.
So, Josh, do you still do most of the writing, or is it collaborative?
Oh, our writing's super collaborative. I do probably most of like the starting of songs, which, you know, the concept, the lyrics, you know, Eric and I are married, so she has to listen to the early versions over and over and over again.
As you can imagine, I don't have very many opinions.
Oh, of course not.
No. Well, we have a, you know, I'll let you in on like our business, and it's a perfect transition to Adam, who's like our Ringo, who we added to the band 4 years ago. Adam came in and convinced us, really changed our philosophy. We do a full split of songwriting because we all impact the songs as they go. The drum part changes it, the bass part changes it, the groove changes.
The melody changes it. I mean, we're all making a big difference.
So I do start most songs, but I definitely feel like we finish them as a group. So we actually split all our songs.
Well, then finally, Adam, tell us about your association. And then we want to make sure we play your first song.
Very good. So I'm not from Chicago as these guys are. I grew up in Connecticut, got a snare drum when I was 10 in the school band, drum kit when I was 12, and I was playing in, you know, crappy middle school, high school bands. I went to college in Chicago and kept playing music, kept playing with similarly crappy bands. And then eventually I got hooked up with the Empty Pockets sound guy, Dan. We were working on a different project together with a mutual friend. And, you know, we worked together a few times, shows and recordings and stuff. And the next thing you know, Josh calls me out of the blue one day and says, we've got this Al Stewart tour and, you know, whatever, we need a drummer. And that was incredibly exciting. And I think I learned like an album and a half in 2 days. Showed up to audition, and here I am.
We did an audition where it was basically like a jam for 45 minutes with Nate and Adam and I. And at the end of it, he was like, I like cool time signatures. And I played a tune in 7 and I played a tune in 5.
Wow.
And Adam could play them with us immediately. And Nate and I were like, all right,
this is the guy.
That's fine.
This is the guy. All right.
Josh came home and said, we found our drummer.
Well, there you go. Well, we want to hear a little bit of your thing. This is from your Tanglewoods album, Fill It Up. I'm just going to go ahead and play that. So this is the Empty Pockets, Fill It Up.
Bringing me down, keep piling up.
Keep piling up.
Whoa.
That was Fill It Up from the Tanglewood album. A great sound there. Very good.
Perfect Thank example you. Of like Adam changing a tune just from the drums. I never envisioned that type of, I think it really informs the rest of the tune. I love that drum part.
So came out in 2019. So how far before the pandemic? Was it like latter 2019 or?
It came out in January 2019. And so we beat the pandemic by a year or so, which was nice. Then our next album after that, I think we actually released a live album. And then our next album comes out in August.
And you have also a 10 Cent tour album also. Is that correct?
We do. We've released 6 or 7 albums. But the ones that, like our core catalog is the 10 Cent tour and then Voices, an album called Voices. The Tanglewoods you mentioned, we have a Christmas album and our live album. Those are like our 5 Billboard charting albums that we're very proud of.
Well, we need to maybe listen to something from 10 Cent tour. You said, you know I do. So let's take a listen to that one right now.
We're lying in bed now. I'm almost gone. Just rest in my head now. You're thinking on. Doubt's spreading all over. Taking your mind. You start. You think
And that was from the 10 Cent Tour album, from the Empty Pockets. You know I do. So,
woo! You know, that song is a great example of how we'll do a song in the studio, but then we'll also take it and change it live. Because if you come see us live now, we do not play it that way anymore at all.
We often transition that song directly into the band's Ophelia as well. So it's very, very different.
Very different.
I so appreciate when the songs are different live. I think they should be. It shouldn't be rote, you know?
Yeah, we get bored too.
Yeah. I get both sides of it. People want to hear what they fell in love with. And so at a certain point, they want exactly the recording. But yeah, Adam's right. We get bored with it too. Or like you're in the place and you're experiencing the feelings together and you all move in a different direction. Like that's just how live music works.
So powerful. We love that.
Right. Well, we're going to end the interview with your song, Outside Spectrum. That's going to be released as a single on June 3rd. And we want to make sure we let people know about your tour dates. You're on the East Coast part of your tour right now, but you're going to be back in the Midwest, and probably most notably for our audience, May 13th, you'll be at Three Oaks, May 14th at Wautoma, ooh, Wisconsin, and May 15th in Evanston, Illinois. So just real briefly, tell us about touring, and then we're going to finish our interview with Outside Spectrum from your new album, which will be released in August.
Well, we're getting off a cruise ship, heading home for a couple of days. We're on Cruise to the Edge with Alan Parsons and Marvin and Transatlantic. It's a prog cruise. We don't totally belong, I don't think. But we're having fun.
We'll play a lot of flat.
And then Three Oaks. Yeah, coming out to the Acorn. That place is great.
It is a great room.
Great room.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Well, we'd like to thank you for being on Art in the Air. That's Josh Solomon, Eric Brett, Net Mellon, and Adam Blasco. They are the Empty Pockets. You can find them on theemptypockets.com, also on Facebook. And you can see them at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks on May 13th. Now we're going to listen to Outside Spectrum, the title track from their new album. Thank you so much for being on Art on the Air.
Thank you.
Have fun.
That's all on you. Tributaries broken through.
listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
I'd like to welcome both Nigel David and Monica Kazmarjik, or MK, to Art on the Air. They have a YouTube show called Night of the Living Jam, which they showcase local talent in local venues. They cover open mics for poetry and comedy, as well as showcasing all types of artists. Aloha, MK and Nigel. Larry and I, thank Aloha. You for joining us on Art on the Air.
Well, thank you for having us. We appreciate it like above and beyond. Definitely. We are very excited about being here.
And we're excited about having you. And Monica is known as MK on the show, so we'll just go with that for the moniker here for right now. And
aha,
like,
moniker.
No pun intended, though I am a punny guy.
No, no, Larry's always right? meaning the puns.
Yes, I am a punny guy. Anyway, we always like to know a little bit about the background of our guests, and so we're going to get that from both of you. And I always like to say how you got from where you were to where you are now. So, Nigel, we'll start off with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so my name is Nigel David, born and bred in Gary. I love the city, and I just an amazing place, and the region, obviously. Basically grew up all around in this area, and then 2004, a lot of things happened in between, but 2004, I had a daughter, and so... Part of the show is I used to do a lot of different things before I got responsibles. And then, 17 years later, I'm able to go back and do the things that I used to do as far as like the jam nights and stuff like that, which kind of sparked the idea for the show. And so I've just been happily being dad. It's the greatest job in the world. I love it. And she's my best friend. And yeah, I'm just a happy person.
Well, before we get to MK, let's just go back. Where did you go to school? Did you go to college and all that kind of stuff? We just want to know everything there is to know about Nigel, but we were afraid to ask.
Well, I went to Gary Public School System, and then I got kicked out of Gary Public School System.
There's a story there. Tell us about that.
So, well, the story involves riot police and me getting thrown off 13 bleachers onto the basketball floor. A lot of police and a big riot that basically happened.
And I missed it.
Yeah, and you did. And you would actually probably be the one to be kicking me too.
Nobody.
Yeah, you would. You would totally kick me. She is so mean to me, guys.
Did you wind up in an ambulance? That's.
You know what? Honestly, I ended up in the nurse's office. Not even actually in the nurse's office. Outside of the nurse's office, and they didn't even call my mom or dad or nothing. I actually had to wait till the end of the day, and I basically staggered. Beaten completely out to my mom's car. And then obviously she saw that. And then pretty much soon after that, I ended up going to Maryville, which is a whole nother thing too. Cause when I lived in Gary, I used to go to Maryville to hang out. I never thought I'd move to Maryville. So all the people that I messed with in Maryville, they went to that Maryville school. So it was a fun transition for me.
Well, MK, let's move on to you and see what kind of story you have about how you got from where you were to where you are now.
I grew up on the South Side in Hegwisch at Cal City. I live in Burnham now, so literally the South Side. And I'm an avid nature freak. And I've been drawing my whole life and writing poetry. And in school, I used to perform and like draw diagrams and all that. People would have me draw like their stuff for their science projects. And I would write poetry and then I would perform poetry and stuff in college. And then I had kids, so I didn't get to do that anymore. And after I got divorced, I decided I was going to go back into poetry and perform again. And I walked into Paul Henry's art gallery, and that changed everything, because then I was performing and I had met a whole bunch of artists and I started painting. I met Nigel there. I met Wayne there, who got me back into painting. And now I've sold like a lot of paintings. And I met you there, if I'm not mistaken, Larry.
Yes, and, I remember.
Yeah. And it's been transformative to be back into a creative aspect of myself after letting that kind of just fade out for a really long time.
Yeah, your origin story is so much better than mine.
It involved a cult.
Right. Well,
I was raised in a cult.
So we have cults and riots here.
So MK, what kind of painting do you do? How would you describe it?
I do a lot of mixed media, and I do a lot. It's almost all abstract. And I do landscapes with spray paint. I do a lot of spray paint and acrylics. I like to cut things out of magazines and books and just put them together with a background that I've created. Lots of pink chrome and silver and gold and glitter. And I've been told that glitter is the framer's worst friend, but there's nothing a couple coats of shellac can't fix. So
suffer some shellac shock.
Yeah, I feel that way about duct tape. Duct tape serves a lot of purposes.
It sure does.
It does solve a lot of problems. I'm just saying.
I have a lot of things. Yes. Like I have old belts that have been reconstructed with duct tape, and they're now like way cooler than they used to be. So I support that.
Yes, we support the duct tape and all its misgivings.
It's glorious.
It is, and it's glorious. Yes, it's got a lot of glories to it.
Yeah, well, very, you know, glorious. In theater, you use gaffer tape, and the advantage is, you know, duct tape was meant to go on and not come off, or gaffer tape is got the same strength and everything. So let's talk about how you came together, before, not so much about the show, but just how, I mean, you briefly touched on meeting at Paul Henry, but how that developed into, you know, friendship, relationships, et cetera, like that.
Okay, so there's two different stories here, so I'll let her go first on this, because her origin story is so much better.
So, like, the first time I went into Paul Henry's, there was one seat available that night, which was literally next to Nigel. And it was the first night that he had been at Paul Henry's. And we just ended up talking, and I let him read what I was going to read. And he really liked it. And he told me he was an artist. And then he questioned whether or not I should go to digital format instead of using my colored pencils. And I told him, you better never, ever take my colored pencils away from me. And then we became friends.
That's what, you know, transpired according to her. But from what happened to me, what I saw was that she came in just completely like a wild woman. She was hitting people. And then basically what happened, she forced herself next to me and she was like, hey, read my poetry and don't steal my color pencils. And then, no, I'm just kidding, guys. No, that's
I love it. This. This is like choose your own ending book. I love it.
Ending number one or ending number two.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much how we met. I mean, I did say, you know, about the color pencils and digital because I was actually having a show that day.
Yes,
that show that
weekend. That's true.
That's true. I had my photography up and my art. And it was funny because she did snap at me like, hey, you're not going to take my color. And I'm like, I am so sorry. I just, I was like, but yeah, it just blossomed in. You know,
funny thing is I haven't used colored pencils in a long time now.
See, I saved you now.
Because it's been ink and paint markers and spray paint and acrylic and watercolors and mixed media and super glue and all kinds of stuff.
You should have said et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera,
et cetera. So, very, very theatrical. So where have you exhibited, either one of you, different places that you've done your art in terms of exhibits?
I've had a show at Paul Henry's. I've also had a work in a Rising Phoenix in Michigan City.
Right. Real space.
Mm-hmm. Had a showing there,
which I got to perform at.
And then Ula Davids.
Gallery.
Yeah, Ula Gallery,
which I got to perform at.
Yeah, which you got to perform at. So, you know, again, part of my story is that, you know, since I was raising my kid, I'm a single dad, and so, you know, that took up a lot of my time. Now that she's older, you know, I now have more time on my hands.
Yeah.
So over the last 3 years between, it's been 3 years, roughly.
About two and a half.
Yeah, two and a half, 3 years.
Three, yeah.
And then, you know, then meeting her and just being, you know, because she's absolutely amazing. I mean, she's just inspires me to do what I do. You know, she definitely makes me the better person, which is actually a very hard job.
It is.
You know.
I got him to at restaurants.
Hey, my tip for a restaurant is, hey, if you don't make enough money, go get a better job.
And then complain about the bad service you got because there's not enough staff.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
So Nigel just said perform at. So MK, what kind of performance? Is it poetry or some other type of performance?
I do spoken word, yes. I have actually, I'm wanting to do live art performances while other people perform music, but we haven't had that set up yet. We've been talking about that for about a year and a half now. And then COVID hit and then this happened and that happened. Yeah. But like I have like a specific idea of what I want to do. And I want to do a live art performance during a musical concert of my friends where I have like time during different performances to create during different styles of music, because that really does influence like what you do, and just be able to just go off and do it in a way where it's done on like canvas boards. So the people who attend can actually purchase pieces of the art before they leave and have a piece to take home with them too. So
that's a good idea.
It is an amazing idea.
It is.
I've been working with the Watered Down Heavy Body to get that right, to do the water balloons. And I have ideas. I have lots of ideas.
Yes. It's your dream board. It's like,
I don't have
long.
A dream board, but my gallery is my house.
And I understand.
Yeah.
I have lots of art at my friends' homes.
So Nigel, what type of photography do you do?
I was doing a lot of architecture. Mm-hmm. I was
landscapes,
models. MK here being one of my favorite models. She is always down to go out and take a picture.
That means I get to wear a pretty dress and be out in the flowers taking pictures.
Yeah. But do you get a modeling fee?
No, I get food.
Yes.
Okay.
I buy her supper.
So. And you know, that's good. I need to eat. I'm skinny enough. I can say that I like desperately need to eat sometimes.
My question, Nigel, then, is always what type, what equipment do you do your photography on?
So I just have a Rebel. I have a Canon Rebel. I don't even know. I mean, I never think about this kind of stuff. I mean, I just kind of just do it. I mean, I'm all about angles.
Lighting.
And position and black and white. I mean, just black and white is my main focus because the emotion, you know, it leaves it blank. So you can, imprint your own emotion on a picture. And black and white with color, it just kind of fills it in for you.
Yeah.
And I love film noir.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, anything black and white.
You have no idea how obsessed with film noir he is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I love
even the music.
Yeah, I'm a huge jazz fan. So I love old 20s and 30s jazz that would be, in the dark blues clubs and stuff. I mean, that's
like
just
swing jazz. And that's an era of swing jazz then, as
yeah,
20s and 30s.
Yeah, and because there's just so much to it. And the music today,
depth. Yeah,
there's a lot of depth to it too.
I'm glad to hear, Nigel, that you're a Canon shooter. I always like to ask that question because I'm a Canon shooter also. So,
you're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
So I guess we want to get around to the show. Now that we got you guys together and everything, besides, one thing you didn't touch on, Nigel, is what your real job is. You know, it's out there. And I guess that's why architectural photography would be interesting for you. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could do that. I do sell, photos I have sold. I'm a realtor in my real life. I love that. I mean, it's a chance to help people, find their new homes and stuff like that. So it's very rewarding and I absolutely love who I work with and that. And it's been great. So, and then you are.
I am a home health care aide. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
that's a tough job.
It is. It can be really tough sometimes. And I'm dealing with
very emotional.
And multiple clients. I'm dealing with families. I'm dealing with health issues and mobility issues, sight and hearing issues. It gets really, and then, sometimes they say mean things because there's dementia involved and it's hard.
Yeah.
I have cried at my job.
Right.
So I may look like I'm tough. tough, but I am not tough.
Well, it is, and when you see someone that's in that situation, and I went through that with both of my parents, and fortunately we found a caregiver that lived with them who was like an angel from heaven. She was actually a nurse in Poland, and so I know that how you can do. And both of my parents eventually suffered from some form of dementia, but yeah, there's two different kinds. My mom was the angry one, my dad was just kind of passive one. So, but let's get how you guys got together, you know, and everything. First of all, and then the origin of your show and the concepts and everything.
Yeah, so Night of the Living Jam is basically, before my kid was born, every night there was a jam night. If you lived through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, every night had a jam night. We were always able to go out and enjoy music, go out and practice, and you know, and listen to new people and just ideas that were formed of bands and friends that were formed in those years. And then, again, when I got responsibles, I couldn't do that stuff. I was a single dad, so I, you know, take care of my kid. And so now that she's older, I was thinking to myself one day, I'm like, man, what does this stuff going on still? And they still have jam nights. Mm-hmm. And so I went out, I started, you know, researching it. And sure enough, you know, here are these jam nights. And then I come across and I meet these this incredible talents in this area, from the Fresh Hops to Jack Whittle to James Guetta to Mark Adrian Benny, Will Wyatt. I mean, all these amazing musicians, and they're out there doing it. And here I am, you know, looking at it from a different side, because I used to be up there jamming and playing and trying to make it big. But here, you know, on this side, I started thinking to myself, I'm like, man, you know, I would love to promote this talent, because back then there was hardly anybody promoted anybody. And I always thought promotion was big, because it's a huge part of music and arts and stuff. You have to, you know, be promoted. So I went to Nick Kazonis, who's the owner of Region Buzz 219. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know him or not, but he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's incredible. Incredible. Yeah.
And so I, you know, did some pitches for him, and I pitched the idea to him, you know, because he has a production company and stuff, and he liked it, and he let me roll with it. And so for the first season, the show was actually called It's Jam Night.
Yep.
And the first episode I basically did on my phone, and I just basically pointed at myself, did a whole show just basically by myself, asking the questions, kind of coming up with the format. And then slowly I just worked at it. And then I got a camera guy, and then we just slowly worked at it.
Yeah.
And then, but MK and me have been, you know, friends for so long, and we, you know, we just have a great chemistry. And so, and she puts up with me. So she would be at a lot of the tapings, if not all of them.
Yeah.
You know, in the background.
I was his assistant.
Yeah. And, like, you know, she'd hold the door open, and she was my sounding board.
And I was getting the people together making sure we could get an interview and things like that.
And then slowly, you know, I started realizing, you know, the talent that she is, you know, as far as like, you know, just her presence and her charisma. I mean, I don't know if you give charisma presence, but that's beside the point. And I'm just saying that I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at the magic that was happening between us when we talked, because we argue, and we do it so lovingly, you know, that it's just,
I think we related.
Yeah. And then, you know, so I just slowly brought her in episode by episode. Then in the last episode, you know, I just basically said, hey, this is MK. She's going to be the new co-host.
Yeah.
And then we added, we went with, just went straight to basically Region Buzz 219, then we wanted to go to YouTube and just go strictly YouTube. And we worked with John Huber a little bit. And then we added Ben, who's our director, cameraman,
producer,
and editor. And the kid's amazing. Kid's 21 years old, Larry, and he's got the eyes of a guy that's been around, you know, for like 60 years. Like he's just amazing. He's going to Columbia.
And he's incredibly kind.
Yeah, and he's a great kid. And so we found him and added him to it. And then Ryan, Ryan Beal,
the sanest man in the world.
The sanest man, 1001%.
It's so heavy.
And, you know, so we added, you know, he's does camera work for us on occasion. And so added him. And then basically we added my daughter for doing our TikToks.
Yeah.
And then we also added, we just now adding the Spaniard, who is a stand-up comedian that I met not too long ago. And he does this he's just an amazing voice guy. And so we added him as doing a voiceover, and we got a lot of things we're going to be doing with him. So the show has grown, and it's just, and then just on top of being able to meet these incredible people, you know, everything, you know, from artists, from, you know, from Chloe Pierce to Monica Kazmichek, which we're going to be having her show coming up here real soon. And it's just an honor, you know, for me and, you know, for us to be able to be part of and just watch this talent grow and just become who they're going to become, even in like the closet.
Aristotle
Galanos. I mean, watching him over these last few years and what he's doing, it's been great. And he's been on the show, and we're so appreciative and love everybody.
Well, tell us what a typical show is like. Now, I realize this is radio, and yours is a visual medium. But like, if we were to tune into your YouTube channel or wherever it's distributed, tell us what we'd see.
Yeah, so, you know, basically, we start the show off. We try to give props to wherever we're at. We're an on scene mostly thing where, you know, we have to we plug the bars. We plug where we're at. So we start off out the outside. I always do the little introduction. Hey, come on in. Let's go check this out. I meet her at the door. She lets me in, and then we follow. And then we do basically our little, you know, our little stuff. We introduce. We talk a little bit. Sometimes I do big wrestling voice.
Sometimes I get to do the interviews, which is fun. I do both the interviews of the people who perform. Like I do the handling job of gathering them together. We sit down. We do a little interview. We always talk. So that like how we're doing here, and it makes it so much more fun. And then I get out my teaspoon and they do the crowd interviews, and I'm basically screaming, "What do you like about the Thirsty Beaver?" And everyone's like, "We love the Beaver." And it was the funniest.
So, but the thing is, you know, the gag is, you know, we have like a spoon, we've had like a toothpick, and, you know, because ketchup bottle, huge ketchup. I mean, when you shove something in people's face, you know, like you're interviewing, they don't look with it. So we've had people like talking into ketchup bottles and that.
So do you both have theater backgrounds?
I did some drama. Like when I was in junior high, I was very shy after I transferred out of First Baptist Church's school to a different school. And my teacher was like, "I'm going to start drama so you can get out of your shell." And there's a couple other kids. And I was like, "What?" And then, so we did this drama club thing. We started performing around the school and everybody loved it, especially me. And I wanted to keep doing it, but did not have the opportunity outside of verbal performances, a spoken word. And now I have the opportunity once again to become a character that is me, but is not me, but is like more outgoing. And it's so much fun.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah. And we actually are getting to our final minute here, believe it or not. It's gone fast. But how do the people find where you're at on YouTube and, you know, where can they locate the show?
So, everybody check out YouTube, Night of the Living Jam. That's our channel name. We got like this first season's up.
Yep.
And we're also on Facebook. We can find us on there.
Yeah.
We have a TikTok. Mm-hmm. We're working on Twitter. We're working on Instagram. Basically, go to YouTube. That's the thing. Click subscribe. We love to hear back from people. We want feedback.
Like us on Facebook. And on Facebook, you can message us if you have any questions or ideas or whatever, or locations. We would love to hear about new locations.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. We want to hear from the audience. You know, contact us. Hey, let us know. Hey, this is a great jam night. Let's go check it out. And that's what we want to do. That's what we're about. And it's about music. We've done open comedy mics. We've done all kinds of stuff. And Night of the Living Jam, guys.
Night of the Living Jam.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. Night of the Living Jam, Nigel David, MK, also known as Monica Kazmichek. Thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP. Art in the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP Station Manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. Underwriters for Art on the Air, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments, and Mary LeVan, Arts Patron. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there. So don't just be an Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself.